Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
This Thanksgiving, think outside the oven and get Thanks Grilling with Ace. Get a new grill and choose from top brands like Traeger, Weber, and Big Green Egg to add even more flavor to your Thanksgiving turkey, side dishes, and desserts. Plus, right now, get free assembly and delivery on all grills and accessories $3.99 and up. For the best help on the best grills, stop by your local Ace and get Thanks Grilling. Ace Rewards members only through December 24th. See participating stores for scheduling or exclusions.
This is No BS Job Search Advice Radio, episode 1550. I'm your host, Jeff Alton, the Big Game Hunter, and welcome to the number one podcast on Apple Podcasts about job search. More episodes than any other show by far. We come on air pretty much 7 days a week at this point, as I have for a long time. I started doing the show in November 2010, believe it or not, and I'm still going, offering great advice. Originally, it was a once-a-week show. Now it's 7 days a week, with a rare exception for a vacation, a holiday, something along those lines. Sundays in 2019, I've been doing some of my shows for my second show that I discontinued about two and a half months ago, called Job Search Radio. I started that show off as a 30-minute interview show and used to originally record phone conversations. So the audio quality isn't as clear as it now is, but the content is good. And today's show is Finding a Job the Recruiter Way with Maureen Sharer. I hope you find this helpful. Hope you give it a great review in Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you listen to shows. And by the way, if you haven't visited my website in a while, we relaunched it, completely new look, great appearance, and hope you find it helpful. Lord knows, thousands of posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read. Now with that, let's get going.
What I try to do in 30 minutes-ish is introduce you to an expert on some element of job search in order to make it a lot easier for you to find work. Now, this week's show is with a woman named Maureen Sharer, who does what's called sourcing. That's different than recruiting. Often what she does is a lot of the work in finding opportunities or finding people for opportunities, but she doesn't do any of the client-related work. She's great at what she does, and she's going to introduce you to a technique of sourcing that she uses regularly that will help you find hiring managers at organizations. Now, I'd also like to invite you to go back 3 episodes to a show that I did with Jim Stroud called The Number One Show About Job Hunting. It's another version of sourcing, but like this one, they're both designed to help you find hiring managers so that you don't have to apply through something goofy like the applicant tracking system. You know, that invitation into the black hole where your resume will never be seen again. So, welcome, enjoy the show, and let's sing along.
Are you looking for a new job or interested in leveling up? Job Search Radio is your go-to resource for insider tips on job hunting and growing your career. Here's your host, Jeff Altman.
So my guest is Maureen Sharer, that's S-H-A-R-I-B, who's a sourcer for a firm called TechTrack. TechTrack conducts confidential searches and interviews for firms that basically link company recruiters and buyers with qualified candidates in a short period of time. Maureen, welcome to Job Search Radio. Great to have you on board.
Thanks, Jeff. I'm happy to be here.
You're very welcome. So that kind of sounds like what recruiters do for a living. What's the difference?
It kind of is. It's really the old style of headhunting, where the old style recruiter used to go out and find people and then recruit them. I just do that first piece where I find people and then I pass it to the recruiter. Recruiters are so busy today, and so they hire me to do that search piece.
So basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, the recruiter is the one with the client relationship. Maybe they find a person, but you're clearly on the finding a person side, not the client side, right?
That's correct, yes.
Terrific. So before we get going on this conversation, I just want to bring everyone's attention to something from your LinkedIn profile, which I thought was wonderful. And it reads, "Hi, chances are you're looking at me because I looked at you recently."
Oh, yeah.
"I did that because you're the kind of person I find interesting right now for a variety of reasons. You might be someone a specific organization has asked me to locate." So, you know, it goes on talking about how you're out there exploring. So how do you go out and find these people for your clients? And the idea of this show is to talk about how people can use these same techniques to find hiring managers that are trying to hire people at organizations they want to work for. So how do you find these people?
Okay, good question. So what we're going to do today is kind of reverse engineer the process, whereas I'm finding candidates for hiring managers. Today, we're going to have candidates find hiring managers.
Okay.
It's going to be the same process, and I'm going to explain it. The reason I put that into my LinkedIn profile is nowadays, as you know, LinkedIn lets people see who's looking at their profiles. Some people find that kind of unsettling. And some people are able to block that. Well, everyone's able to block that ability. I don't know if your listeners know that, but they can block that. You know that, Jeff. They can block that.
But folks don't all know that. So why don't you tell them how they can block that ability?
Well, it's a function in LinkedIn, and I would have to write the directions out. But you can find it somewhere on the
privacy
LinkedIn
settings.
Page. In the settings, yes.
Okay.
So you can block people from looking at you looking at them. It's kind of complicated, isn't it, Jeff?
LinkedIn has certainly become more complicated than when I joined as member 7564.
Oh, my God.
Like 100 years ago. Yeah.
Are you that early?
I was very early with it. And I was a good boy because they said only connect with people that you know. And that's all I did.
Well, nowadays, they threw that out the window. They want you connecting with everyone, don't they? They don't care. They just want your email addresses.
That's right. That's right. So here you are, Maureen. We're going to talk to people about how to find the hiring manager like a recruiter does.
Right, exactly.
So let's start off with the premise of a job description or just a firm that you want to explore working for.
Yes, if I were a job seeker, the first thing I would do is make a list of the companies I want to work for.
Okay. So I've got that list, and what
the next
how do
step.
You formulate that list? Do you just think about it, or do you have
no,
an idea?
No. You have to be very proactive in this process. And your listeners may find this a little unsettling at first when I tell them that they have to call that list. So when they format that list, they don't just want to put the name of the company down. They want to find the telephone number of the location where they want to work. So they will call that telephone number and they will ask the receptionist this question. "Hi, my name's Maureen Cherub. Can you tell me who the hiring manager is for your process engineering department? Or for your accounting department, or for whatever department it is that they want to have a job in."
So wouldn't a lot of these firms say, "Oh, that's so-and-so in human resources," and try and deflect them there?
You'd be surprised how many don't. There is a way to approach a receptionist. In our industry, Jeff, as you know, we call them gatekeepers. And we tend to think of them as very scary, foreboding people. Yeah, generally women. However, don't think of them that way. These are people that are just, they're doing their job. They're usually very nice women or men that are answering the phone, and they're there to help you. So if you call and say, hi, this is Maureen Cherub, can you tell me who the hiring manager is? Well, don't say hiring manager, because just say manager, because a manager of a department is generally the hiring manager, correct,
right,
Jeff?
Of course.
A lot of people don't know that. They think hiring manager is somebody different from the department manager. But
so
it's usually the manager.
You're asking,
I'm sorry,
for hiring manager, not some title like director or chief information officer.
Yeah. You just want the manager of the department, because that's the person who does the hiring generally. Don't you agree, Jeff?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to make it clear for the audience to make sure that there's no confusion.
Right.
My job is to be their advocate, right?
That's right. That's right. So you ask her, can you tell me who the manager is of the process engineering department, or, as I said, the accounting department, or whatever department it is you want a job in? And many times she'll just tell you flat out. When I call, about half the time, they just tell me flat out, you know, the information I ask for. So you'd be surprised how many times she'll easily tell you the information you ask for. Don't get it in your head that she's not going to tell you, because if you do, it's going to be in your voice. You're going to sound, what's the word, trepidatious? You're going to sound...
You will act with trepidation.
Trepidation. Yeah, you'll act with trepidation. And she'll hear it, because these people are on the phone all day, and they hear things in people's voices. They can hear fear, they can hear anxiety, which is the same thing, but... they're professional listeners.
Right, because that's what they do all day long.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine if you run into a voice response system, basically mm-hmm. the idea is to get to the receptionist, phone person, gatekeeper, whatever language we want to use for them. And if there isn't one, because every once in a while I run into firms where there isn't one, and there'll be the box where they'll take a message that is never returned. I presume you're trying to bounce around to get to a real human being, right?
I am. If you reach an automated voice system, hit zero. It generally will take you to a live person. I would say 7-8 times out of 10, zero will take you to a live person. Don't you agree, Jeff?
Yep, absolutely.
And if it doesn't, there's usually a prompt in there to go to a directory. And a directory is a gold mine, because a directory, think about it, is an access to every single employee at that company. So if you follow that directory's instructions, enter a person's name, you'll get to people inside that company. And it doesn't matter who you're going to talk to. You know, you just get somebody on the phone, and they'll help you. People will help you. It's very hard to say no to somebody on the telephone asking for information, isn't it, Jeff?
Oh, I love that you're trying to do the tie-down close at the end.
But it is. If somebody calls me on the phone and asks me to do something, I'm far more likely to do it than if they send me an email, which I can easily ignore, or something in the mail, which I can easily throw away. But if they call me on the phone, I'm going to have a whole lot harder time saying no.
And yes, Maureen, I do agree. So the idea is talking to people, folks, because at the end of the day, most people that you talk to do want to help. It may not even be instantaneous help, but they do try to help. Like, I had something with an investment firm not too long ago where, completely unrelated to job search, I was trying to alert them to something that I thought might be a security breach in their system. And I said very simply, you know, I'd like to get, and they're hiding information security. Like, I'm going on to every resource and talking to people that I know, because I've got a database of about 300,000 people at this point, mm-hmm. and trying to network with people. And eventually, you know, they said, we'll get to someone, they'll call you back. And a day later they did, and I had a great conversation with someone who thanked me. But, you know, you can get to someone, and once you do, you know, you're off to the races. And thus, Maureen, before we go further, because I know we're going to go into more meeting material, I want to give everyone my job search insider tip, and then we're going to go into detail about what to do once you get to this person. So my tip is a LinkedIn tip, folks, and it comes from a recent policy change that LinkedIn made that, frankly, Maureen alerted me to. And the change involves your ability to download a file of all your first-level contacts. Now, for the longest time, you could do a download, and LinkedIn would give you an Excel file, or what they call a CSV file, that could be used in any spreadsheet of all your LinkedIn contacts. But they made a change, and now instead of being able to do it instantly, you have to order it. They'll send it to you in 72 hours with a whole bunch of other stuff that you probably don't even care about. What this signals to me is that LinkedIn in the future, like Facebook, is going to make lots of different changes. And one of the changes that it opens themselves up to is the ability to say, you know, we own that data, and you can only use it on our website. So to protect yourself, I want to suggest that you do something on a somewhat regular basis, and that is order that archive of your records, of all your contacts and all the other stuff that they send with you that I know you're not going to be interested in. The real thing is about protecting your contacts. So from your profile page on LinkedIn, go to the photo on the LinkedIn profile page, click on it, go to Privacy and Settings. They'll ask you to sign in again, which is a security feature. And then in the current version of LinkedIn, in the lower left, there's an accounts tab toward the bottom. And then click on that, then request an archive of your data. They'll send an email to you to let you know that they're going to be doing this, confirm the request that you make, and they'll send it all to you. I'm waiting for my copy since this only happened yesterday as we record. But start getting into the habit of doing this because, you know, for someone like me who's in my line of work, that's quite a few thousand contacts to get locked away from me that I'd never be able to access. And in your case, at a time where you're in the middle of a job search, you don't want to have this limited just to LinkedIn. You want to be able to use it in lots of different venues, including direct email. So that's my tip for this show. Let's come back to Maureen and pick up where we left off. So we've been talking about how to find the hiring manager and using the most basic of all techniques. What's the device called again?
The phone. I just thought of something. You asked me before, what if they direct you to HR? This is what I say when they say, well, you have to get that information from HR. I say, oh, please don't send me to HR. You know they never answer their phones. And we laugh because she knows it's the truth. And that instantly creates camaraderie between you and the gatekeeper. It's magic. The phone is magic.
Perfect. And I happen to agree with you. One of the things when I was training and when I was trained, I was taught by my original mentor many years ago, the phone is my friend, no want shall I know.
So yeah.
I pass that reminder on to you, folks, and please love your telephone and use it more than just sending emails out, okay?
Yeah.
So you get to the department, maybe even get to the hiring manager. What happens next?
Okay, well, actually there's another, we're going too fast. She may say to you, she may tell you who the hiring manager is right off when you ask her, or she may say, she may resist you a little bit and ask you why you want to know. People always ask me, what do you say when she says, why do you need to know? An old recruiter told me when I first started sourcing, Jeff, he said, look, Maureen, just tell them why you're calling, why you need to know. And I thought to myself, oh, I can't tell them that. Why would they tell me that? Why would they tell me information? When I told them why I needed to know, well, guess what? I started to tell them. So when she asks me, very rarely do they ask me why I need to know something, I just tell her. I say, I'm trying to connect with so-and-so because I want to ask him if he knows anyone who's looking for a job. Boom! She usually transfers me. And I'm like, I fell off my chair the first time it worked, and it's like, oh my gosh, that guy knew what he was talking about.
It's amazing, isn't it? Isn't it? Honesty. And I remember I was trained by a guy who said you should say it's a professional matter.
Oh yeah, sure. That like that's gonna work.
That was the cue to hang up the phone for the receptionist.
Excuse me,
do you hear this sound? Click.
Yeah, exactly.
What happened to me?
Professional matter this. Click. The gatekeeper is powerful. She is nice. Think of her that way. She,
gotcha.
Yeah, yeah, she can open all kinds of doors for you. Just talk to her like a friend. And be clear, concise, and straightforward.
So I just want to repeat back that one line. You tell that receptionist, gatekeeper, person at the front desk, whatever title or function they have, I want to talk to so-and-so about a job or getting a referral about a job I'm trying to fill or about mm-hmm. a position. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, in the job seeker's case, he or she may say, there's a job online that I'm interested in, and I was hoping to speak with the hiring manager regarding this job. Something along those lines. She's probably going to help you.
Mm-hmm. Or folks, you might just simply say, I happen to be looking for a job. I was hoping to speak to the hiring manager to see if they might know of someone who they could refer to me or for an informational interview or something mm-hmm. along those lines, because for some of you, you're still at the information gathering phase. Mm-hmm. So they could always be a source for informational interviews. Sorry to interrupt, Maureen.
No, I'm glad. I want to make a point, and people talk about the black hole of recruiting. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Oh, good.
The black hole of recruiting. You know, people talk about, well, I sent my resume in and I never hear anything. There's a secret in recruiting, and it's not so much a black hole as it is a black secret. A lot of recruiters just don't know what they're doing. And I don't say that to knock the recruiting industry, because many recruiters are tasked with handling a lot of different requisitions, and it's impossible to know the details of every single requisition. You know, they might be handling technical roles, and they might be handling sales roles, and they might be handling whatever. And it's just impossible, especially for newer recruiters that don't have the experience, to know every single nuance of a role. So rather than pass forward a resume that they're not quite sure of, they just don't. They don't pass that resume forward to a hiring manager because they don't want to look like idiots. They don't want to put their jobs at risk, and that's the bottom line. So it's not so much that your resume is dropping into a black hole. It's just that it's not being passed forward because somebody doesn't understand it. So if you're a highly technical person, like a chemical engineer I'm working with, his resume may not get passed forward because somebody on the inside just doesn't quite get it and is fearful that he's going to send it to the hiring manager, and the hiring manager is going to say, well, this guy doesn't have this and doesn't have that, and the recruiter's afraid to take that heat.
And I'll add one extra layer onto this. And if you've made the mistake of applying through an applicant tracking system, you may not have languaged the skill being sought high enough in the resume mm-hmm. so that the system believes the work is more current. So mm-hmm. if you only get to the point on page 2, then the system thinks it's old information and may automatically screen you out. So the goal is always, you know, number one, avoid applying through an applicant tracking system. We're doing a show that lets you apply directly to a hiring manager mm-hmm. to avoid this applicant tracking system, folks. So, you know, at the end of the day, skip the system because that is the home of the black hole. Mm-hmm. And from there, if you are sending a resume to a third-party recruiter like me, and I know Maureen and I spoke before the show, and I know she's not talking about me. We're really talking about junior people who just don't get it because they're just, too new, and they're afraid to ask the client more questions because they don't want to sound like foolish.
That's true.
Dumb and inexperienced.
It's true.
It's part of human nature. So
that's true.
You always have to kind of make it look pre-chewed and pre-digested and obvious that your background fits a role.
So if you get to a hiring manager and you talk to the hiring manager and the hiring manager calls the recruiter up and say, call this guy, I want this guy to come in for a resume. Oh boy, he'll be on the phone to you like 2 seconds flat, right?
Mm-hmm. Always.
Yeah.
Always.
Reverse engineer it.
Right. So in getting to the hiring manager, what do you think someone should say?
Well, when you reach the hiring manager, just tell the hiring manager what it is you're calling about. However, don't go right to the job first. Say something along the lines of, hi, my name is Maureen Sherab, and I'm really interested in your company. I've admired it for a long time, and I'm really interested in the work you do. Now, you may or may not think that my voice sounds, what's the word, Jeff? Interested.
Powerful, interested.
Yeah.
Caring.
Yeah, but that's how I want you to sound. I want you to sound like you mean it.
Okay.
And I'm sure if it's a job that you're interested in, you will sound that way.
I'm going to offer a different word. You want to speak with confidence, authority, and certainty.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
So,
you don't want to sound, you know, like you're full of yourself and, you know, you've got all this great stuff to
bring to... You tell them how to run their business better.
Yeah, you don't want to tell them how to run their business. Oh, Jeff, did you see that thing online about the brutally honest cover letter?
I love that story.
Oh,
folks, there's
God.
A guy who sent a cover letter. He was an intern who was applying for a position on Wall Street. It's hysterical. And basically what he says in this cover letter is he talks about his background very briefly, and he says, I know your firm doesn't normally hire people from mediocre graduate schools like mine, but you know, we met some time ago. I'd love to work for you. I'll basically fetch coffee, shine shoes, and do anything in order to work for you, including work incredibly hard. And lo and behold, he sent it out and he gets a response back, and he thinks to himself when he sends it out, 50-50 chance I'll get a reply, but he wants to cut through the noise and clutter. And by the way, in his letter he says, you know, I'm not going to give you any sort of fluff. You know, I really have very little that you normally would hire, but I'll work incredibly hard and be a great asset for you. He got hired. He works for the firm now as an employee. He was able to get his way in. There are lots of different tricks that you can use in order to differentiate yourself. Sorry, I had to tell the story. I loved it.
Yeah, it was a great story. Are you going to have a link anywhere where they can access that?
Yep, I'm going to have that in the show notes, absolutely.
Okay, and so, I wrote an article or a piece for this show. Are you going to have that in the show notes, too?
In all probability, I will, yes.
Okay, great.
So we now get to the hiring.
A little more about that. I just want you to speak from your heart. Just speak like you're speaking to a friend.
And say basically, hi, I'm so-and-so. I understand you're trying to hire someone with this type of background. Do you then go into a pitch, or do you wait for them to say, yes, that's true? Is that the kind of work?
Yeah, you want an interaction. The first couple seconds of the conversation is going to tell you the nature of the hiring manager, the manager you're speaking with. So you're going to pick up, is he, you know, reticent? Is he... you know, a guy that likes to talk a lot, or, you know, the first couple seconds of a conversation, Jeff, don't you agree, tells a lot about the person?
Yeah, And one of the things I always do in my own phone calls is to say, am I reaching at a good time, or would it be better if we scheduled a few minutes to talk a little bit later on? But I first identify what my reason is for calling, because if they're going to say, no, I'm not interested, and I'm going to go back into a sales pitch for a moment, we can get it solved right then and there. But for the job hunter, I always encourage, I hope I'm not reaching at an inconvenient time, but I understand you're trying to fill a position. Would this be a good time to speak, or would it be better if we scheduled something a little bit later? Seems like a pretty reasonable response, because, you know, you've interrupted them, and they may be.
Well, I have a little different take on that, Jeff.
Please.
And it, I do think it's a good approach. However, I would listen for the tone of the voice. If it sounds like the guy is doing something when you pick up, use it. But my approach, and you know, I make hundreds of calls a day. My approach is, if they answered the phone, it's not a bad time. They were able to answer the phone. Think about that.
Thank you.
They didn't let it go to voicemail.
Okay.
They didn't let it go to voicemail.
And if it does go to voicemail, what do you do then?
Hang up. You want the guy to answer. You want the guy to answer. You want to capture him. So don't leave a voicemail, because it's probably not going to be listened to anytime soon. And nowadays, the way voicemail is used, just hang up and call back. Along those lines, and I know this is a little bit out of the norm, use call block. So the guy knows that you're not calling him time after time after time. I use call block as a matter of course. Only because I'm making hundreds of calls a day, and I don't need people calling me back saying, oh, you called, what did you need me for? Because people do that. They look at their phones and see who called, and they'll call you back and say, hi, this is so-and-so, you called. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I did call, but I can't remember what I called you about. It really interrupts my day. So use call block, but you want the guy to answer. So if you have to call him 10 times over, you know, a week, do it. And the next step is stay organized. Remember, you made a list. You have their phone numbers. You found out their names. You found out the receptionist's name when you called. So write that down when you call. You know, her name is Grace. And then you found out the hiring manager's name. Write his name down. You found out his extension number. I want you to ask Grace what the hiring manager or the manager's extension number is, and why do you want that? That's the beginning of understanding the internal dial system of the company, and you want that because you may, if you can't reach that hiring manager, I keep saying hiring manager, and I really should say manager or department manager, you can use that internal dial system to do what I do, and it's one of my most powerful phone sourcing weapons, is to stab in. Do you know what that is, Jeff? I'm sure you do.
No, it's a term I haven't heard before. Tell me.
I call it stabbing in, where I call a company and I just dial in any extension number. Many times a company, if let's say I'm calling a company in Austin and the phone number is 512, I'm going to pick a prefix out of the air, 791-2000. That's their main number. Their direct lines to their employees might be 512-791-2001. 2002, 2003, 2004, 2005. So if the receptionist told me that the department manager's extension was 2005, that kind of tells me that other employees might be at 2006, 2007, 2008. Do you follow me?
Yep. This is old-time sourcing, because I remember doing all that stuff for years.
Yeah. So if you can't reach him, you know, after several times, just start dialing into the company, and anybody, you know, sooner or later, after 2, 3, 4 calls, somebody's going to pick up the phone, and you can talk to that person and say, I'm trying to reach so-and-so. Can you direct me to him? Or can you, by any chance, give me his cell number?
Ooh, the sacred cell.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
Or can you direct me to somebody in his department? Mm-hmm.
In getting them in the department, you're asking for his or her name, right?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
In getting this someone in the department, you're trying to get to the hiring manager's name still at this point, right?
Right, right. You're trying to get to the hiring manager's name. If you didn't get it from the receptionist. If in the rare case she wouldn't give it to you. This is a way to find the hiring manager if in the rare case she would not give it to you.
Gotcha.
Good point. Good point.
Now, Maureen, believe it or not, we've been at this for about a half hour now.
Okay.
So as we start to wind up, I want to make sure that you are able to share any of the gold that you've accumulated over the year that you think a job hunter needs to know in order to start sourcing hiring managers for positions that they're interested in. Any final pearls of wisdom that you'd like to share?
Don't be afraid to make that call. Just make
it. It's scary.
It's scary. I know.
She's mean to me.
I know. She's not going to be mean to you. It's scary, but once you start making those calls, I promise you it's going to get fun because scary things are fun once you conquer them. So after 2, 3, 4, 5 calls, it's going to become a lot easier. The big thing is just start making those calls.
And, folks, it's not like they're going to yell at you.
No.
It's not like they're going to turn over your phone number to the FBI. And ISIL will not appear at your doorstep going, "We understand you've been calling for the names at this company."
Yeah.
This will, I promise you, will not happen.
So that's today's show. I hope you found it helpful. And if you did, here are a few more ways to get more from me. First of all, visit my website, which is thebiggamehunter.us. I have more than 6,000 blog posts there that you can watch, listen to, or read that will help you find your next job. If you want the best of my advice, join jobsearchcoachinghq.com, where I've curated information with a focus on interviewing. If you decide to take the lifetime membership at the site, it's $299 currently, but that's the price of a coaching session or an hour of coaching from me, and I'll be giving that to you if you join with a lifetime membership. Have a few questions? Contact me through the Magnify app for iOS or PrestoExperts.com, where you can call me. Schedule a specific time with me through chat on Magnify or by connecting with me on LinkedIn at linkedin.com/IN/TheBigGameHunter. Once we're connected on LinkedIn, you can message me about coaching you, scheduling in time for Magnify or Presto Experts, speak with me about a resume or LinkedIn profile critique, help you with a salary negotiation or my trusted advisor services, and much, much more. Like you, I don't work for free. I do charge for what I do. You can take my classes on Skillshare and become a premium member using the link in the show notes and receive 2 months for free instead of just the one that the site offers. Skillshare offers thousands and thousands of courses, not just simply mine, on a host of different subjects that can help you in many different ways. Lastly, join my group on Facebook called Career Angles. It's free to the first 250 people who join and is focused on helping you do better at work. Information is shared daily, and we're attempting to build a supportive group there. Ask to join. I'm not letting recruiters in at this point. So I'll be back tomorrow with more, and in the meantime, I hope you have a great day. Be great!
There's no place like home for the holidays, or HomeDepot.com for holiday decor, with great low prices on decorations inside and out, like artificial Christmas trees to light up the living room, outside lights and playful inflatables that bring joy to the neighborhood. Order online and you'll even get free delivery. Holiday decorating improved with a wide assortment of holiday decor from HomeDepot.com. How doers get more done. Free standard shipping on most online orders over $45. Some exclusions apply while supplies last.